Where are the areas that the average Mr. or Miss Federal employee should be most worried about? We get lots of calls and emails about the high three to high five conversion, but it seems to me that hardly is getting talked about at all on Capitol Hill.
Well, it's definitely something that's still in play, but it's hard to figure at this point because we don't even know, you know, basically the next bite of the apple in this budget process is this creation of this super committee, and the super committee is required to be named by the House and Senate leadership by next Tuesday, the 16th. So we don't even know who the players are. I think we have a pretty good idea of who will be appointed. So that process hasn't even started yet, but you would think the starting point for that process will be everything that has been done since then. And, you know, certainly I think that, you know, changing the way annuities are calculated based on the highest 5 years of salary will be something that's being considered. But the one that certainly got a lot of attention, including public attention, you know, starting way back with the Fiscal Commission and then also part of the House approved budget resolution and also part of the Blair House group led by the Vice President, was the plan to significantly increase employee contributions to the civil service and the civil service and retirement and disability fund.
Talk about that super commission, because people are, as you said, starting to get a sense of who some of the folks might be on there. What are some of the names that you're hearing, and are they friends or foes when it comes to the federal pay and benefits package?
Well, I mean, this is definitely crystal balling it, and so you really haven't heard any kind of rumors specifically, and at this point it's totally speculation, but one would think that, you know, whether it's the people who are in the room at Blair House with the Vice President, members, you know, certain members of the Gang of Six, I think those are the types of members of Congress, you know, that are key, have been key players in the budget process, are likely to continue to be key players, and stand a good chance of getting appointed to this fiscal commission. But, you know, it's all up to the House and Senate Democratic and Republican leadership who's eventually on this committee.
What is reasonable if I'm sitting here trying to handicap this or plan or whatever for the next couple of years? What's reasonable for me to think should or could happen? I mean, if we all think about the possibilities that exist out there, especially compared to what some folks have dealt with in the private sector, even some of the worst case scenarios are not necessarily terrible. That doesn't mean we have to like them, and it certainly doesn't mean you're going to stop working toward preventing them. But what it really is are some of the things that you think are likely or possible.
Well, I think because of the fact this proposal on increasing employee contributions, both employees under the federal employee retirement system and the older civil service retirement system, I think that's going to be pretty high up on the hit parade of proposals. It depends on how bad the damage is going to be. But, you know, especially if it's the full proposal that the Fiscal Commission originally suggested back in December of 2010 as was approved by the House budget resolution, you know, it's a full 5.5% increase in contributions, and so, you know, that's, you're basically you're paying an additional 5.5% of payroll tax, and you're paying more and getting a smaller retirement because your retirement is going to be based on a lower salary because of the salary freeze that was imposed back in December. So the bottom line of that proposal is you're paying quite a bit more, or there's the potential of paying quite a bit more for a smaller retirement. I think of everything that's out there, that's the proposals that's the most likely, but there's certainly was a lot of discussion also about the high, you know, using the highest 5 years of salary, but also changes to the way the government's contribution is calculated for federal employee health benefits program premiums, and then also recalculating COLAs for federal retirees based on what's called the chain CPI, which would result in lower COLAs for retirees.
What are you and your colleagues at NARF doing to try to do this? Is this a pretty standard lobbying effort, or is this a little bit different because of the financial situation that the government's in and the possibility of this, well, not possibility, is going to happen, but although we don't know who's going to be on it, the super committee, or is this pretty much SOP as far as you guys just working on the Hill to try to make people aware of what's going on?
Well, I think this is way beyond SOP for us. We, you know, these type of budget fights only come around once in a generation, and we're in the thick of it. And we knew that months ago. And in fact, that's why we launched our Protect America's Heartbeat campaign to try to put a human face on the federal workforce and show especially lawmakers the value that federal workers bring to the daily lives of Americans. You know, the people who are in charge of making sure the food supply is safe, the people who work at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission that make sure nuclear plants are safe, you know, federal law enforcement, you know, people who are involved in getting Osama bin Laden and the CIA and the NSA. So, you know, the list goes on and on. But to answer your question more directly, part of our advocacy and communications effort that we're currently involved in will be refocused on those 12 members of the super committee to try to influence them to make them aware of some of the messaging that we've done in the past about the value of federal workers.
All right. I want you to critique my line of thinking, Dan, and it's perfectly fine if you tell me that I'm just taking things a little bit too far.
Okay.
I was very heartened when I saw the press release from Congressman Lobiondo's office today about restoring the pay for the furloughed FAA employees.
Right.
When I noticed that one of the co-sponsors of his bill was Congressman Mica, who a lot of people were blaming for the shutdown in the first place, fairly or unfairly, then that's not the point. But is that maybe a good sign that members of the Republican Party who have been kind of pushing some of these issues about federal employees are at least going along with something like that, that will long-term be a pretty good benefit for those 4,000 people who were out of work for a short time? Or am I just kind of yanking its straws there a little bit?
No, I think that if Congressman Mica is on the legislation along with Congressman Lobiondo, I think that is a good sign. I mean, he, of course, is chair of the Transportation Committee, which has jurisdiction over the FAA. Certainly, Congressman Lobiondo has been a friend of federal workers and retirees for quite a while. So the news of that was, I just heard at the top of the broadcast, without knowing more about that, I would say that's a very positive sign that they are being proactive and want to ensure that the FAA workers who were furloughed as a result of this impasse aren't unfairly penalized but not getting their back pay.
Daniel.